Thank you. My name is Joe Schurz, and I work with Larimer County's Department of Health and Environment up in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I'll talk about a specific example of using social media for pandemic flu planning, H1N1, in our meningococcal clinic that we ran at CSU, and how we use that and some of the technical issues you may encounter when you're trying to do this. So for those that don't know, Larimer County is in north central Colorado. We have Colorado State University there. We also have Estes Park and Rocky Mountain National Park there. So it's a fun place to visit. Come on down and see us. We'd love to have you. So the one thing I want to say specifically, don't be afraid of social media. It's one of these things that I think we have a fear factor to it because we come at this and it's something new. We're not familiar with it. And unfortunately, if you don't do it, somebody else will do it for you. So if you don't create a social media site, if you don't have the presence like we've heard about earlier, other organizations will start them up. Personal bloggers, people will create wikis for that, and they will be doing it for you, and now they are your communication avenue to the public. So you have to be in front of this in some cases, or at least participating in it. So you're going to have to find how you balance those things. And so I'll talk about two examples. We have our flu plan, for our pandemic flu planning that we were doing, and our H1N1 clinic planning. And again, I mentioned the technical challenges. So I'm going to talk specifically about wikis, which is a little bit different than what we've heard about tweets and personal friends and all of that. Wikis are still also, they're websites on the internet, but they're interactive, they're collaborative sites. People make changes to them all the time. We are using them to help plan. And the reason we use them is we saw how they were used effectively for the tsunami in Katrina and Rita for sharing information. And again, these sites were not designed for or by health departments. These were designed specifically for people to get information out and share it, and departments were reacting to it. So we share a lot of information when we talk about pandemics. We share them with natural disasters as well, except we have some things that advantages that we don't have in natural disasters. For example, local infrastructure is impacted severely. Well, for pandemics, we don't have that. We have our infrastructure, so we can leverage that still. We can deal with that information. Information overload occurs in both cases. There were lots of situations where the lines are too long, we can't get our shots. All of that information was happening for our H1N1 clinics. And in Larimer County, our lines were under 10 minutes in some cases, and they didn't realize that because they were seeing Denver news. So we had to get the word out in a big way to show, no, we run our clinics a little differently. We schedule them. You can get a ticket and get your shots quickly. And so that was a big challenge. And so getting that information out effectively was important because people were just saying, well, I'm not going to go. Well, you should come. We're effective in doing that. Disaster response leaders need information rapidly, and so getting them to participate in this action is also an important factor. And so you want to engage everybody within this organization to help them. And so we use it specifically for pandemic planning right now. We've kind of engaged our organization, and we've also engaged our community. So our local college, the cities are all partnering in this, and they're all participating together on our collaborative sites now so that we can share this information. The public sector is also, are also participating on our sites, giving us additional information because they have the answers. And why do we pick it? It's low cost. I mean, you'd be surprised. Standing up your internal websites to your internal organizations are very expensive. Wikis that we stand up are $200 a year, plus or minus, to get the site up. It's really the time and investment that you put in to make it work that's costing you the money. It's your staff time that you have to engage there. They are easy to learn in most cases. They're already using them. A lot of your staff are probably already using this stuff. They're already doing this action, and they're just waiting for you to give them permission to do it. So you have to open that up across so they can do that. They are easy to edit. They're just text editors. They look like Word. If they're familiar with that, they can get through it. And that's an important factor. You want to make sure it's easy to adopt, easy to understand, so they can move forward. It does keep track of everything that you create. This is one of the removing one of those fears. When we build something out there, when we release it to the public, how do I know what happened to it? How do I control it? This is one of those areas where you actually do have good knowledge about it. Not only who created it, but also the revision history, what happened to it. I know that a lot of the discussions we had when we were creating our initial site was, what happens if somebody goes out there and just erases everything? Well, that's a fear. It can happen. If you open this to the public, yes, they could do that. That's malicious. But these sites track revision history. You can roll that right back, which was kind of an important factor for us. We wanted to be able to at least pull that back to gain control of that information again if we had to. And the other thing that we found that's been very helpful is it's content specific, so full text searching is more powerful than your network drives. I don't know if you're in your office, you pick up your network share, you want to look for a word, and you get 20 directories and 5,000 documents, and you have to open every single one of those to find what you're looking for. Full-text searching on a content-specific site is very powerful. You'll find what you need quickly, and you can move on. And that's really an important factor when you're trying to deal with rapid response, rapid communication. Site-specific data is helpful there. So reasons you should consider using technology like this: leverage that knowledge and expertise that is not in your organization. So it's one thing, the health department has our staff. We heard earlier in the opening sessions how our workforce is going to be shrinking. We heard it again. You can't do everything, but the community will help you in this. So if you open these sites up, if you open this communication up to your community, people will get engaged, and they will start giving content and information and posting information for you. And so then you just have to moderate that in some way. Look at it and make sure it's kind of valid and kind of ensure it's really communication you want to share with everybody, or enhance it further. So do you allow somebody to post, well, we're not going to have the vaccine until October. Somebody heard about it at a news session in Denver. They posted it. You look at it like, is that right or wrong? Oh, it's right, but it's really October 17th. Well, don't delete what they've done. Add, it's October 17th. Thank you for getting the information out 10 hours earlier. I mean, that information is very helpful. Real-time data is very important. The other thing to really keep in mind, the better we plan as an organization, as a group, the better prepared we are overall. And so from a preparedness standpoint, it's a very effective way to get information out. One site you can go, it's still active, and I'll talk about life cycle of these things, but fluplan.larimerhealth.org, this was our pandemic planning. We actually brought all the sectors together at the Larimer County Fairgrounds. We had HP, Comcast, Quest, and we were asking questions of these leaders. What happens to network infrastructure? Are we going to have the internet if everybody starts going online and telecommuting? We didn't know what that would look like. This idea that we were going to do isolations, everybody stays at home and works from home, we found out our infrastructure couldn't handle it in our community. We thought we could. We assume everybody can just stay at home and use their cell phones and get on the internet and do whatever they need. And it's like, no, it's the network's designed to kind of scale for business and then scale for home at different times. So if everybody's doing it all the time, we had issues. So finding that out early is important. And so we were able to share that information and work through it. All the information was then, all the information was then shared after the session, and everyone was trained how to actually edit the wiki so that they could participate together. And so that was an important factor as well as training people. So what should you do when you're considering this? Invest in making your staff comfortable. You're going to have a mix of employees, some that just wonder why we don't do this already, and others that are saying they will never touch it forever. And so you have to balance both of them and get them engaged. Provide them the skills for the tools you've selected. Don't just expect them to say, here's the edit button, go do your work. Really, you've got to spend that effort getting them comfortable with it. Also, know your audience. Know who's going to be messing with the site or seeing the site. In Larimer County, we're actually a very connected community. We think it's above 70% because we have a college town, and population there actually has very good internet connections. But people still need to get your information from traditional media sources. If we were to post the flu clinics are at this time only on our Twitter pages and our Facebook sites and on our wikis, then the population we might have been targeting that never uses the internet wouldn't know about it. So keep in mind, you might still have to have phone banks to field communication. You might still have to rely on your radio and newspaper communication source. So it doesn't eliminate these right now, but over time you're going to see that decrease. Understand your security and trust is very important as well. You have to make a decision. There's some risk associated with this. If you're opening everything up to the public and everybody can change everything, you're taking a risk with that. But understand that. You can control some of it and take some of that back, securing the site somewhat, not allowing people to post or comment. But you're going to take a side effect from that as well. If you prevent people from commenting on a post, they're going to post it somewhere else. So just be aware of it. And they're going to link back to you so that when the search engine finds it, they'll find your site and they'll find their comments still. So just keep that in mind when you're trying to restrict. You can only go so far. There are some challenges that we found when we were doing this. I mentioned training. Training was a challenge. We brought all of our critical users to a one-hour session on how to use the wiki. We kind of trained them in it. But we found that even after that, we wanted to continually train. We found designating one person to really be responsible for updates, not a good idea. We really needed moderators and topic-specific information. Not everybody knows everything, so what was happening is somebody would see there was an update, and they would take that information and then go find somebody that had the answer to go back and post it. Well, if you assign somebody that had their skills to moderate that specific information, it would be changed quickly. And so that was a very important thing to do, and so we've tried to branch that out to make people responsible for their fields of expertise. Adhere to your policies. We heard earlier, develop your social media policies. Yes, have a policy, adhere to them. If there's laws that say you can't share this information, don't post it on your sites. If you find it posted on your sites, remove it as quickly as you can. You still have to be good stewards with that information and also with the public's money. Don't allow that information to go crazy. Adoption was very important. We wanted to make sure as many people as possible used it, but we still find that difficult. Adoption's harder as you start branching out because some private sector information that really helps you do your job is protected. They don't want to share it because it's competitive. So you have to balance that very effectively, and that's hard to actually increase adoption. From public health to the public sector, public citizens, seems to work fairly well, but when we need the private sector as well in there, it seems to break down a little bit from what we found because they're not willing to share. Well, this is kind of what we're planning for this phase or that phase. That's kind of hard. And the other thing is building the sustainable solution. Don't plan on that. It seems like a lot of the social media wiki sites generally have about a 2 year, two and a half, 3 year life cycle. And so plan on that life cycle so that you can grow with it. If you're not constantly updating, people are going to go there and say, it doesn't have what I need, and they'll back away from it. So you want to make sure you're keeping that current. There are some technical issues you're going to have to deal with as well. And so from a technical side, how do you decide if you're going to do it internally or externally? You have to make that decision. Do you allow somebody to host it externally for you so that you don't have to deal with allowing the public to get past your firewall into your servers? Some people want to have a hybrid. We want to build it internally first, and then I want to flip a switch. I love that when I had that discussion. We'll just do it all ourselves, and we'll make it publicly accessible at that point. I'm like, the testing is a nightmare at that point because what you've probably done is connected a lot of your databases and a lot of other information. The second you flip the switch, it's now on the other side of that protection, and all that stuff that was working beautifully in your organization now doesn't. And so you're redoing all that work. So you want to be very careful with that. You also want to leverage web services, the newer technologies, to help share and collaborate with data. Some of your applications may not do this yet, your databases may not. Consider adopting those or making changes to them so you can share it across. It'll save you time and redoing effort. Make sure you have web presence policies, but make them or write them so they do not stifle your innovation. We had an initial policy that said only the public information officer can post it. We like step back. That's one, two, or three people, depending on your organization. If you do that, everybody's now a gatekeeper. So you want to be very careful with having a gatekeeper doing that. You've delayed an important thing, which is rapid updates and rapid sharing of information. So be sure to back that up. I would say for sure, know what's going on so that somebody can monitor it if you stop monitoring it. So if you have your county logo or your local logo or state, federal logo on something, somebody should be looking at what's posting there, especially if it's a publicly changeable site. It's not your traditional staff that have to maintain this, and so I think that's very important. When we think we're going to hand this off to your IT department, you can think that. They're not the ones that are going to be doing the work. And so I'd say be very careful here. Yes, your webmaster might help you set this up initially, but you really want your content management experts, your subject matter experts, to maintain the information. I don't want my webmaster maintaining the immunization site. I want my immunization coordinator maintaining the immunization site. She'll do a better job at it, and she'll do it effectively and fast because she just placed the order. So she can post the information right then and there. So that becomes a very helpful piece. They can share it, and the public will then trust that information more and because it changes quickly. So that's something that we've found that's very important. Let go of those rights to keep update rights so that it's current. That goes back to that. Let go of being the gatekeeper and the control piece. I know that gets hard. We want to control it. Try to break that out there and kind of watch it. That's when your moderators make somebody responsible for checking when the update's there. And the last slide is taking that public site offline. I've been asked, hey, the site's no longer useful. Can we just pull it offline? Plan that it's permanent. I'm sorry. Google, Yahoo, any search engine, they don't just look at what's there now. They actually store your site. So if you pull it offline, they can still search it, even if you wanted to yank it back. So just be aware it's out there. Pretend it's permanent. Plan on it being permanent. It's be safer. If you do need it offline, don't delete it. Consider changing security so you don't lose your ramp up and ramp down time every time you're changing a site. It's easier to build on what you've built than actually start from scratch every time. So leverage what you've done. So consider at least the security switch, kind of saying it's no longer publicly accessible. We're keep it internally right now from a security, and then open it up. So I consider those. And then I guess we're going to hold questions at the end, so I won't do that. But so thank you very much.